From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, on the trail of dinosaur footprints in Alaska. First, it'll just sting for a second. At least that's what nurses across Dallas County are promising kids lined up for back-to-school shots. KERA's Bill Zeeble checks in at a clinic.
Dallas County's Health and Human Services Director Zachary Thompson is almost always hawking immunizations.
There might be at least 10,000 students that have not got their immunization, so we need to get them immunized. Because on the first day of school, if their immunization is not up to date, they'll be turned away.
That was Thompson in Fair Park last week at the back-to-school fair. He says nobody wants kids and parents lined up around the county's Stemmons Clinic on a hot first day of school. Today, dozens of families, including Dawn Geis and her daughters, are here for shots. 6-year-old Stacy has learned games on mom's cell phone help distract her from the needle.
I love to play games because they're fun. I play Pet Rescue. You supposed to find 2 matches and then push it and then...
Mom says that distraction works up until the sleeve gets lifted and cool alcohol swipes the arm. That's when mom steps in.
Most of the time I have to tell her to turn her head or look out for her. Look at that, you know, it's a bird out the window, click. That's it.
Stacy took the shots well enough. 4-year-old sister Michaela made more noise.
It's all right.
But within a second or two, Michaela was smiling. Mom says she actually wanted her shots.
She begged for the shot. She's been begging for it ever since she turned 4. It don't bother her.
That's because Michaela can't wait to go to school like her sister.
Whatever her sister do, she want to do it too. So if it's getting up going to school in the morning, she thinks she's supposed to go too.
And now she'll be ready for pre-K thanks to the shots. Today, 3-in-1 arm covered with cartoon Band-Aids. Dallas, Denton, Collin, and Tarrant counties offer affordable immunizations to qualified low-income families. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Your footprint reveals a lot about you. Things like if you're a runner, if you favor high heels, or if you go without shoes altogether. Some newly found footprints of a dinosaur just might change our entire understanding of the species. A herd of duck-billed hadrosaurs left behind a veritable gold mine of prints in Alaska, and the Perot Museum's curator of earth sciences has just gotten back from a visit to the site he helped discover. Anthony Fiorillo, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I can imagine dinosaur footprints being kind of common in your field. So what is it about these footprints that make them so special?
Well, one is the abundance of them. It's basically a football field-sized collection of footprints. There's thousands and thousands of these things. And then the preservation is exquisite because most of the tracks actually have skin impressions preserved in the tracks. And that's pretty neat. It tells you something about the texture of the skin and so on. But what's even more important about that is that it tells us that that's the actual surface these dinosaurs walked on.
Can you describe a hadrosaur? You know, how big is it? What do we think they look like?
The typical hadrosaur, they're really the most common dinosaur that you find in what we call the Cretaceous. In North America, they're sometimes called the cows of the Cretaceous. They're so abundant. They're bipedal. They have a tail that extends back horizontally. They're plant eaters, oftentimes have hundreds and hundreds of teeth in their jaws, and they have much smaller forearms. We have a duck-billed dinosaur skeleton on display at the Perot Museum, and it's actually the world's only Alaskan dinosaur skeleton. Adults could reach 35 feet long, and the track site records adults, teenagers, and even small guys that might have been 10 feet long.
Now, when I think of dinosaurs, I picture them surrounded by huge tropical ferns and exotic-looking trees, not a cold polar environment.
Well, that's one of the things that makes the site really cool, no pun intended. The track site formed at about the latitude that it's at right now, so it's clearly not a tropical swamp. It wasn't bitterly cold like you think of Denali today.
Yeah.
The temperature was much more like what modern-day Portland or Washington might be like.
So take us back to that day in 2007. You, two of your colleagues were in Alaska. How did you find these footprints?
We were working with the Park Service. They were interested in doing some basic reconnaissance. We were basically working our way around and came around the corner, and there it was. And we, three guys with probably 50 years experience between us, we were all dumbfounded. We just couldn't stop laughing and giggling and crying and slapping each other on the back, and it was quite a discovery.
you say your research points to the theory that these hadrosaurs, you know, thrived as a herd and protected each other. And that includes, this is the part I find fascinating, extended parental care. How does that work?
Well, the track site records mom, dad, big brother, big sister, and little babies. And so what we have is a multi-generational herd of animals. And so as a herd, we argued that this was evidence for extended parental care. Now, what does that mean exactly? It's a little up in the air. But what's particularly exciting is that where it is. This is a polar environment. And so rather than that image of bleak and barren and harsh and so on, this site demonstrates that the Arctic 70 million years ago was actually capable of supporting high biological productivity, great big herds of big plant-eating dinosaurs. That's one of the appeals of working in Alaska, is that it's such a frontier. The exploration is so new that anytime you turn a corner, there's always the potential of finding something really amazing.
Anthony Fiorillo is curator of earth sciences at the Perot Museum in Dallas. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for your interest.
Anthony Fiorillo talks about his Alaskan adventures tonight at 7 at the Perot Museum. About 80 miles west of Fort Worth, the town of Strawn has turned over its source of water, Tucker Lake, to Texas Parks and Wildlife. Mayor Ty Jackson says it was a tough decision for this town of 700, but it could produce a big payoff, a new state park that would bring in new jobs to this former ranching community.
It's going to force the town to grow and become maybe a little more modern than it has been.
The state and the city are starting a public meeting in a few minutes about the state park. KERA's Dwali Saikautel will report on the project tomorrow morning at 8:20. Now to South Korea, which is determined to become a pop culture powerhouse. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to an expert in Korean culture. Here's producer Stephen Becker.
That video by the Korean boy band EXO has been watched more than 42 million times on YouTube. And if the song sounds both foreign and familiar, there's a good reason for that.
They're very, very good packagers. Koreans are extremely good packagers.
That's Yuni Hong, the author of a new book about how Korea is trying to become a world leader in pop culture.
No one that I spoke to when I was interviewing people for this book, no one from the top levels of government to film executives to music executives ever said that this music was wonderful. That is not the point.
K-pop is a government-funded industry in Korea. The charge is to take fads from across the globe and bundle them into one irresistible package.
So they get their songs from Sweden, the music's not the lyrics. They get their dance choreography from all over. A lot of them are from America. You know, since it is kind of a mix, it is by definition not going to sound super original. What is original is the particular packaging, the way that the whole thing is assembled, the way the whole thing's put together.
And when the rest of the world hears little bits of itself in the product, it's easy for the makers of K-pop to churn out international earworms. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
Think re-airs tonight at 10. Listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. For the evening, partly cloudy skies, low around 78. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high near 100. It's 98 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 90 in Tyler, and 98 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.